Coming up on today's show,
I always say to whatever team I'm coaching day one, yes, I want to win. I like winning, but if we're improving, we're making steps, I'm kind of okay with losing at that point.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the weekly Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter. While you're there, look at the top of the website. You'll see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter. I'm really struggling with the change over to calling it X. Instagram and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. Speaking of YouTube, I hope that by now you have seen the new video that I posted there 4 weeks ago. It's me discussing a list of ways that you can help Catholic Sports Radio. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests that is free to join. And you can also find a link for that too on CatholicSportsRadio.net. I love hearing from listeners. And so social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. For once, I am deliberately tying this into some witness that I'm pretty sure this week's guest is going to give, although they don't know that I have written this with their witness in mind. I'm thinking this week about the hesitancy a parent might have sometime in signing their son or daughter up for a sports program. They love what they see, but they for some reason try to talk themselves out of it. "This looks too good to be true" is a common expression in a situation like this. They're saying my son or my daughter would likely be one of the starters on the team. And praise God for that. If you look for God's hand in this, and really any situation, you would instead likely say, "I'm excited to see what God has for us and my son or daughter using the talents that he has blessed them with," rather than being a doubting Thomas. In the New Testament, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, quote, "For however many are the promises of God, their yes is in him. Therefore, the amen from us also goes through him to God for glory," end quote. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God is faithful. Ground yourself in him who is firm and reliable. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was active playing baseball as a youngster and then added swimming to his list of sports when he got to junior high. As he got into high school, he stuck with swimming but dropped baseball, only to find out in the future that he was being scouted at the time. Later in life, he taught at a Catholic school where he was also the softball coach and took a group of girls who never won a game prior to him coaching to being division champs. He would also coach baseball for the City Parks and Rec League, plus he coached for a couple of years in the Catholic Youth Organization. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dave Schultz.
Thank you.
Dave, it's great to have you here. Thank you for making time to be on the show today.
No, I appreciate it. I enjoy being on.
Let's get started into learning all about you by having you first share with the audience where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
So I was born in Warren, Michigan, and raised in Hazel Park, Michigan, and a smaller family. It was just my parents, my brother, and I am the younger of the two.
Okay. You were, in fact, born and raised Catholic, but...
Yeah, I was born and raised Catholic, but after I was confirmed, my parents did not push to go to church anymore. We were regulars in the pews every week up until that point, and... Yeah, after my eighth grade year when I got confirmed, that kind of dropped off.
So does that mean, just to clarify, they stopped pushing you to go, or the family as a whole stopped going regularly?
The family as a whole stopped going.
Okay, okay. We're going to come back to that, meaning your faith walk, but wow, sports-wise, you were really busy as a young boy growing up. Tell us more about the baseball and swimming that I alluded to in the intro and any other notables from all the sports you were doing back then.
Sports was always a big thing, and I'm very fortunate to have a father that when I was growing up, he was determined to teach me and my brother as much as we wanted to know about any sport. Like, he was a well-rounded athlete growing up and everything like that. So when it got to be our turn, you know, he gave us as much knowledge as possible. And the baseball part, I'd like to think it's genetic too, because my grandfather would have gone pro if it wasn't for World War II. So,
wow.
Yeah. So just baseball was very big to me. I played baseball from age 5 all the way to 9th grade in high school. And like you mentioned earlier, that's when I decided to hang it up for organized baseball, because of just knowing that I was better than the coach's kid, but the coach was going to play his kid over me.
Mm.
I didn't like that at the time. And so I just decided to walk away at that time. But I was one of those kids that would just play any sport that was available. I played basketball, only played 1 year of organized basketball, but like do things like flag football for the local Parks and Rec. I golf. I
wow.
play tennis.
Wow.
A little bit of everything, just being well-rounded and just taking all the teachings that my dad gave me.
So where did the interest in swimming come from, being that that's the sport that you gravitated towards when you walked away from baseball?
That was, when I reflect back on it, that was something that was very interesting, because when I was little and taking swim lessons, I was afraid of the water. But it was something that my brother did, and it kind of piqued my interest. And when we got to junior high, when joining a swim team was an option at the schools, the teacher I had for swimming class, which we were required to take, was also the swim coach, and I had a good relationship with him, so I decided to go out for swimming.
I see. I see. I'm curious, how did you end up finding out that you were being scouted?
It was just through talking with some friends of the family that stuck with baseball a little bit. It was one of those conversations a few years later, like the person came to me and said, you know, I never mentioned this to you back when it happened, but we were at the game and somebody goes, where's Dave Schultz? Which number is he? And this person said, oh, he's not on the team anymore. So,
wow. Wow. Interesting. Interesting. Where did you attend college? Because I believe you might have had an academic scholarship, but then also there were glimmers of hope for your faith life while you were in college, yes?
Yes. I went to Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and it was right outside of Ann Arbor where the University of Michigan is at. But it was a smaller college, and it was perfect for what I was going to school for. So I was in music education for the longest time, and that's where I went to school for that. So,
and that was in fact an academic scholarship?
Yes. Yep, I received an academic scholarship that helped pay for my tuition.
And then share with the audience what was happening faith-wise during that time.
During that time, I remembered going to church, and I would hear friends talk about going to church, and it just kind of popped in my head that, you know, I kind of missed that part. I just remember having some feelings that kind of started pulling me back towards it. And one of the many things as an education student that you needed to do was get volunteer time in a classroom type setting. And one of my friends who volunteered regularly at one of the churches near campus, they said, hey, there's openings for some catechists. Do you want to join as a volunteer and get in your volunteer hours? And I agreed to it. It was fun because I did both kindergarten and eighth grade. So kindergarten I did by myself. So taking about probably, I want to say, 6-8 rambunctious kindergartners and doing what I can to do religious ed lessons with them. And then also with the eighth graders. I taught that with a friend, and she and I didn't want to like follow the book necessarily, but wanted to like just talk with them and get their feelings about God and everything, and try to just do more things on their level rather than like a textbook level and going through all those activities. So,
but this story is really interesting because, audience, you can see this is a classic example of leaving the 99 to go after the one. And you can see that Dave was starting his return to full devotion to his Catholic faith at that point in time. The coaching that I mentioned in the intro, Dave, where you took a group of girls who had never won a game prior to your coaching to being division champs. How did that come about? Meaning, did you put yourself forward as wanting to coach, or were you voluntold, as they call it? And for that matter, was that your first ever coaching experience? And yes, by the way, also just share with us about that amazing turnaround on the field for that team.
Yeah, so it wasn't my first time coaching softball throughout my career. I coached at another school before, and this is at the junior high level. And I wasn't the head coach. I was the assistant coach. And softball, for me, it was like baseball. So I had a lot of those same skill sets to be used for that. But I was always fascinated with how softball pitching was and everything along those lines. So that's kind of what drew me to it. So at one of the other schools, I was the assistant coach there. And then I moved on to a Catholic school and taught there for 3 years. But during those times, I volunteered to be the softball coach. Mm. It's just something I wanted to do and keep doing. So, like you mentioned, this group of girls, they started in fifth grade. So in fifth and sixth grade, they hadn't won any games.
Wow.
They felt like, in talking to them, they felt like, you know, they were just put out there and told play the game instead of given any skills what to do. And this is kind of just my philosophy in coaching in general. I would give the basics of what to do, and during that process, I would find strengths and weaknesses and put them in positions that would show off their strengths, but also help eliminate their weaknesses and put them in positions on the field for that, positions in the batting order for that, and just do things to help build up their confidence, because there were some highly athletic girls, but they just never had somebody point them in the right direction. And I'm the kind of coach also, I'm always giving advice, but I'm always doing it positively. I'm more of a cheerleader, so to speak, and you'll never hear me bash a player. I don't believe in that. I don't like seeing that. So that's kind of how I operate too.
Ooh, so good. So good. One area I don't really feel I've talked about much, if at all, on this show is audience building. How do we get more and more people to know about, not to mention listen to, Catholic Sports Radio? One of the ways is that some of the apps allow you to buy an ad where they tell you how many people your ad will be shown to, and then they even tell you how many taps that you'll get for your investment, meaning how many people will tap on your ad to go to your show, or how many subscribers, how many followers it will get you. It's something I've looked at and considered because I'm always interested in growing the audience and bringing more people to the message of Catholic Sports Radio. But darn it, if it doesn't get quite expensive. For example, there is an app called Overcast, and I looked up their rates this morning, and in the religion and spirituality category, it's $180 to run an ad. Keep in mind that that's just one app. So if I tried to do it on others as well, the costs could really add up. I say all this to remind you that this is not my full-time or part-time job. It's a ministry. It's a calling that I answered to give back with my time and talent. But I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that something like those types of expenditures have to otherwise come out of my own pocket. And I haven't mentioned this in a long time, but when I say that it's a calling, on the YouTube channel, there's a video that I posted, gosh, I don't know, 3 years ago, that says Catholic Sports Radio, The Evolution, and it talks about how and when and where I got the calling to do this show. While, yes, I have had guests and listeners make a financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio, if I didn't need to, I wouldn't still be asking. But in an effort to continue growing the audience and working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports, I could really use more help that way. I ask you to prayerfully consider supporting my ministry by going on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button that you'll see there. It's fast and easy to do. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to stress over. You simply decide what you're comfortable giving, type that amount into the spot that's going to start off with a dollar sign and a zero, and then hit the button to continue, and you'll see the option next to write a note, which I will see when it comes through, and then fill in the remaining fields, hit the Donate Now button, and you're done. I should mention that that will give you the option to use PayPal or a debit card or a credit card. Although, alternatively, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via the website or social media or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and I will write you back with the relevant details. As you've heard me do in the past, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes. Or if you wish, you can choose to remain anonymous, as some folks have directed me to do. I'm grateful for your considering supporting Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Dave, before all that, you told us about coaching the softball team at the Catholic school. What I did not mention in the intro is that when your own kids became of age, you helped with soccer and baseball and softball. Talk about that dynamic, meaning when your own kids are involved and the decision, am I their dad in this environment or am I their coach, comes up. And as a Christian, how do I remind myself to show love to all of the student athletes and not just my biological children?
That's a fine line to follow. With that, you have to have conversations with your kids ahead of time so that they understand. And even having those conversations, it still gets muddled sometimes. I made sure that I talked with my kids. I made sure it was okay with them before doing it. I wasn't like, I'm going to go be your coach. I said, do you want me to help out and coach?
Wow.
And then they would say yes. And I said, okay, well, that means I'm going to be helping everybody and not just you. I will help you, but I also need to help out the other kids too. It was just laying that groundwork. And like I said, I can't remember specifics, but I can remember my oldest being mad at me once or twice when she wasn't getting dad attention when I was trying to help out some other kids too.
Interesting. And I love this story because for me, it brings back memories of when I was a young boy and I worked on Saturday mornings for my grandfather at his fruit and vegetable stand, his produce stand at the open air market. And he told us ahead of time, like you just said, Dave, he said, when I'm here, when we're here, I'm your boss. After 5 o'clock, then I'm your grandfather. So it's great that you're saying that that's kind of the approach you took and told your kids. I love that you asked them first, you know, because they could have said, Dad, you're going to be our coach. That's weird.
Right.
Another coaching venture of yours that I did not mention in the intro is that while I did say that you were coaching baseball for the City Parks and Rec League, you also took on coaching soccer after your oldest had a season with a terrible coach. Mind you, the odd thing here you say was that you knew nothing about soccer at the time other than watching your kids. If we view that through a Christian lens, we see that sometimes the Lord will call us into a situation that we think we're not qualified for. He'll put us in an uncomfortable position all in the name of providing a loving environment.
Yes, and to kind of add to that, my mother-in-law always says to me, God doesn't give you more than you can handle.
Mm.
I kind of thought with that situation too. And for me, I'm the type of person that taking on something like that, I'm going to dive into it just to kind of give some more info and background on that. I was a music teacher for 16 years before making a career change about a decade or so ago. One thing I did in preparing for that going to school is I took every instrument class they offered.
Wow.
I took more than what was required because my thought was, how can I get up in front of a classroom with students and tell them what to do if I can't do it myself? That's kind of a philosophy that I take with me everywhere. So once I found out I was going to go coach soccer, I'm like, okay, let's go online. Let's find some videos. Let's find some study guides. Let's find some coaching manuals. Let's do everything I can. So, you know, and it was just applying those philosophies like I talked before about letting the kids be themselves, but finding out their strengths and weaknesses and using those putting them in positions where they're going to be successful.
Well, and I love that approach, because this could have been a situation where you could have stepped up to do it and then put it on cruise control, meaning, as you said, with the young girls before, that in fifth and sixth grade, they didn't win a game and they were just out there and told, just play the sport and have a good time. And you could have very easily taken the same approach and said, I don't know soccer, but sure, whatever, I'll do it, and not really try to help the girls and teach them. And instead, your attitude was, if I'm going to put in the time, we might as well all benefit from this in terms of learning the sport and, yes, enjoying ourselves and, of course, the fellowship that comes along with it, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I look at things from lots of different perspectives. Indirectly, those kids are paying to be there. They're paying to have an experience, so they deserve to have an experience where they're going to grow and learn. And, like, the teacher in me wants to keep them learning. And I always say to whatever team I'm coaching, day one, yes, I want to win. I like winning. But if we're improving, we're making steps to make ourselves better, I'm kind of okay with losing at that point. You know, it's not fun to lose, I will say that, but I'm going to be looking for all those little improvements here and there.
Well, and let's face it, if a parent is going to pay to put their son or their daughter into soccer or whatever sport it is, and the coach isn't going to do too much, they're going to say, I could have paid a babysitter if that's all this person's going to do is stand there and watch them play.
Yeah.
You coached for a couple of years in the Catholic Youth Organization as your daughters played for their school. Again, this was a situation where your wife said you had to do it after there was another not so nice coach. I don't want to get into specifics and gossip and finger pointing and all that kind of thing, but rather, can you maybe use that as a teaching moment, Dave, for anyone in the audience who might find themselves in a similar situation where we know that Satan is going to really try to rise up and push people to be less than Christian and be tempted into name calling or worse?
It's taking a step back and realizing that it's not about you.
Mm.
To me, the coach that was prior to the situation, like you were talking about, when he led off his initial email introducing himself, he gave his resume.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that, but just it was like the girls were having a difficult time and he felt like it was a reflection on him. And like, it's hard to say that he made it more about himself than he did about the girls. And when you're a coach, you're just, it gets to be to the point that when they're out in the field, you can't do everything for them. You just have to teach as much as you can and hope that they're able to do it out there on the field. You can coach and cheer on and things like that, but essentially it's them out on the field. So you gotta give some release to your ego that way because of that situation.
I love it. That's great advice, great perspective. And by the way, for the uninitiated, this was CYO. So does that mean that there was prayer before or after or both every game, or not necessarily?
Yes, there was.
Okay. Let's talk about the parish you belong to and some of your involvement there.
Yeah, the parish that I belong to, I was on the parish council for a couple of years. It was a 2-year stint. It was just something I felt called to do at the time and just to be involved. And the way they pitched it is, you know, if you feel so moved by the Holy Spirit, we're going to have the Holy Spirit pick the names of who's going to be part of it. And I felt so moved to put my name in, and I was selected. So it's nice to be part of a lot of the processes going on in the background that a lot of people aren't aware of at all.
And you were part of the Knights as well, yes?
Yes. Yep, I was an active Knight for about 2 years or so.
We didn't really establish where specifically you live these days. At the beginning, I asked you where you were born and raised, and you told us, but I sense, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, I sense that you either live in Detroit or what you might call the greater Detroit area. Am I right about that, for starters?
Yep. The two cities I named, Warren and Hazel Park, they both are on the northern border of Detroit. And actually, Warren and Hazel Park border each other also. But throughout everything, we've settled back down in Warren again. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason that I bring that up is because as I listened to you talk about your parish and your involvement there, I thought, we have ended up with an awful lot of guests on this show from that area, and it just tells me that that must be a huge Catholic population there, yes?
Yeah. When we moved to our location in Warren, we had options, lots of options to choose from. We lived in a city, Ferndale, which is all, again, all in the same general area, but there was maybe one or two Catholic churches in the area. When we moved to Warren, we had at least a half a dozen to choose from within about a 2-mile radius from the house.
Wow. Well, let's close then by having you talk about how you and your wife met, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and about the family that the two of you have made, maybe your children's ages present day.
Yep. I met my wife back in 2005. This is when I got hired in to teach at the Catholic school, and she did also. Our first official day of work was at a professional development event at another school, and we actually ended up sitting down at the same table together. And it was just one of those things that throughout a couple of years, you know, our friendship grew into something more, and we ended up getting married. And she's actually still at that same school. I moved on to a couple different schools, and I'm not teaching anymore, but she's still been at that school since then. We got married in 2008, and we currently have 3 children. Our oldest is, she's going to turn 14 next week. My middle child, she's actually turned 12 today. Today is her birthday, the day that we're recording this. And my son, he is 9. So very, very great kids. So happy. They're going through Catholic schools at this time, too. They're fortunate enough to be able to attend the school that my wife is teaching at. And my daughter just got accepted to one of the all-girls Catholic schools in the area where we live. So where the Catholic education has, we think it's been great for them. They are very aware, more than what I've seen from other kids in my experience, very aware of their faith and what it means to help out each other and what it means to give of themselves. It's something that I really enjoy sitting back and watching.
Yeah, just wonderful, just wonderful. And especially going back to the beginning of our conversation where you talked about your parents getting to the point where you all kind of pulled back on your faith, it's wonderful that you have taken such a lead in this and seen the fruits of it in what you just described with your children. Dave, so wonderful to meet you. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, you heard Dave did so much coaching over the years that I don't know how I could close this week's episode and not do a prayer for coaches. So let's pray this together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Lord, it is so easy for me to lose perspective, to get focused on the little picture of my job rather than on the big picture of the work to which you have called me. Help me to persevere. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.